shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Discrimination, racism, and segregation are words which the average Christian has been led into believing are evil. In the mainstream of Christianity, people believe and teach that discrimination, segregation, and racism are doctrines of hate, and that they have no place in their religion of love. They are continually told that God is a God of love, and that He would never condone such bigotry. God views all races to be the same, and Christ taught to love everyone. According to them, all this is set forth in the Bible, which they say is the basis of their religion. But does the Bible teach what they claim it does? If one questions these statements and asks to be shown the scriptural teachings regarding their beliefs, then they are offended that anyone would dare to raise such a doubt. After all, everyone accepts this to be true. And besides, my minister is well trained in the Bible and what it says. They are confident that what he knows and teaches is correct, and that discrimination, segregation, and racism has no place in Christianity and is condemned in the Bible. But are they right? Instead of blindly accepting what some trained minister espouses, or what some church dogma dictates, let's see what the Bible says. No matter what anyone thinks is right, it remains true that only God's ways are right. In Proverbs 14:12, we're warned that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God said in Isaiah 55:8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord Yahweh." So as Paul concludes in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." This is the foundation upon which this investigation will begin and must ferret out the truth contained in God's word about discrimination, segregation, and racism. In order to understand what the word discrimination means, it is imperative that it first be defined correctly. According to Webster's dictionary, to discriminate means to distinguish between, to separate, to select. So, is there any place in the scripture where we find God discriminating, selecting, or distinguishing between? One example of God's discrimination is found in Genesis 4:3-5, which says, "And it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruits of the ground an offering unto the Lord Yahweh, and Abel also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord Yahweh had respect unto Abel and his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect." God clearly discriminated in favor of Abel and against Cain. Just within one chapter, we have more evidence of God's discrimination, his selection. In Genesis 5:1, we read, "This is the book of the generations of Adam." Now, in verses 3-4, it says, "And Adam lived 130 years, and begot a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. Notice that Adam begot sons and daughters, but only Seth is named, which shows discrimination, selection by God. But let's go on to Genesis chapters 6, 7, 8, and 9. Here God discriminates in favor of Noah and his three sons and their wives, and against all the other races and nations of people. Quote, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Genesis 6, 8 through 9. The question arises as to why did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord Yahweh? It is simply stated that he was perfect in his generations. And because of his racial purity, perfect in his generations, he walked with God. According to Genesis 6, 4 through 5, all the people except Noah were engaged in race mixing, which produced a polyglot mulatto void of the Spirit of God that was only present in the racially pure descendants of Adam. The Bible says, quote, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also, after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It is this vile, mutated race that God discriminated against, and the purebred Noah and his family that God selected to deliver. There was a reason for God's grace shown to Noah, and a reason for God's wrath shown to the mongrel population. Continuing on with this account in the 7th chapter of Genesis, verse 1, and the Lord Yahweh said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Then in verses 12 through 13, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day Noah entered, and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and his wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And then in verses 21 through 23, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. This is a clear example of God's discrimination to the point of destroying thousands of people. Does this sound like the God of love, which is espoused by the church today? I'm certain that none of those destroyed by him would think so. It is also true that all denominational doctrines reject the racial component of the previous scriptures, as well as the discriminatory practices demonstrated by the God of the Bible. Anything which cuts against the grain of their traditions of men is evicted from their religion, epistology, and branded as heresy and unchristian. It's like the old saying, Don't confuse me with the facts. My mind is already made up. These churchites are just as Paul stated in Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and have turned their minds against God's word, and all the while embracing erroneous edicts of ecumenical evil. If this sounds too strong, then realize that there are only two messages present in the world, the one of God and the other of Satan. There are only two forces at work, the God of this world, Satan, and the God of all creation, Yahweh. One blinds the mind of men, and the other gives light and life. No wonder that modern Christianity, in departing from biblical truth, has embraced all the doctrines of the devil, which have led their followers into the ditch of despair, decadence, devoid of all power, doomed to dismal defeat, destruction, and spiritual death. These ministers are nothing more than morticians laboring over the corpse of today's Christianity. Their message is the embalming fluid which has preserved its lifeless image. This is a sign of the times, as Paul said in 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And goes on to say in 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now listen to the warning given in 2 Peter 2:2, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. Their indictment is given in Jeremiah 2:13, where it says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. No, their message cannot hold water. They have cast aside the truth of God as being harsh and cruel. Nevertheless, the Bible teaches that God does discriminate. And not only did he discriminate, select Noah, but also he would discriminate, distinguish between Noah's three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, as recorded in Genesis 9:25-27. Proceeding on in Genesis 12:1-2, we read about Abram, whose name God later changed to Abraham. Now, the Lord Yahweh said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. God further blesses Abram in Genesis 17:1-7, where it says, and when Abram was 90 years old, the Lord Yahweh appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them and to thy seed after thee. Again, God discriminated by selecting only Abraham from among all the other people of the earth. Still more discrimination. God even discriminated between the wives of Abraham. Genesis 16:1 speaks of Sarai, Abraham's wife. And verse 3 tells of her giving Hagar to her husband Abram to be his wife. Then Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah, Genesis 25:1. Now, only one of these three wives would be chosen to be the mother of many nations and kings, of which Abraham would be father. This selection discrimination is stated in Genesis 17, verses 15 through 16. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, and give thee a son of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And in verse 19, God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Discrimination? Yes, indeed. But it does not stop here. For not only did God discriminate in favor of Isaac and against Abraham's other seven sons, but God also discriminated between Isaac's two sons, Esau and Jacob. This is stated to Isaac's wife, Rebekah, in Genesis 25:23. And the Lord Yahweh said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. The account of this birth continues in verses 24 through 26. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. What about the New Testament? Contrary to today's theology, God's teachings are the same in both Old and New Testaments. Those Kool-Aid drinking churchites that refuse to follow the fundamental principles of God claim that they are New Testament Christians and parrot their gibberish about God is love as defined by them instead of the Bible. It is amazing that these New Testament-only advocates will revert to the Old Testament when preaching on tithing, but will not dare to address the vital principles of God's discrimination. Paul, in the New Testament book of Romans, recounts the same event of the birth of Esau and Jacob as outlined in Genesis, and elaborates on God's discrimination in favor of Jacob and against Esau, quote, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Romans 9:11-13. From beginning to the end, the Bible is a book of God's discrimination, his selectivity. What about segregation? According to Webster's dictionary, to segregate means, quote, to separate, to set apart, to select. And segregation means separation from others. What does the Bible say about God's segregation or separating races of people? In Leviticus 20:24, God says to Israel, I am the Lord Yahweh your God, which have separated you from other people. This is segregation in its purest form. Not only did God segregate Israel, but he also expected them to stay segregated, separated. Ezra, the 10th chapter, records that Israel had departed from God's plan of segregation and had become integrated and mongrelized. Finally, conditions grew so bad within the nation that Israel was forced to submit to God and to obey his commandment to segregate. Quote, "Now therefore make confession unto the Lord Yahweh God of your fathers, and do his pleasure, and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives." Ezra 10:11. Another event of this nature is recorded in Nehemiah, the 9th chapter, and the 2nd verse that says, "And the seed of Israel separated themselves from all strangers, and stood and confessed their sins and their iniquities of the fathers. Now it came to pass, when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." Nehemiah 13:3. So God's law commands racial separation, segregation. Don't believe the satanic lie that Jesus came to change, destroy, or do away with the law. Jesus says in Matthew 5:17-19, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the prophets. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." So those who break one of the least commandments of the law shall be least in the kingdom, according to Jesus Christ. We need to get back to hearing the law of God as the people in Nehemiah's day, and obey God by practicing racial segregation. What about racism? Is God a racist? It is interesting to note that the Noah Webster's first edition of an American Dictionary of the English Language, published in 1828, does not even contain the words racism, racialism, racist, or racial. So, again, if we are to see what the Bible says about racism, we must understand the meaning of the word, since the word itself did not exist at the time of the translation of the King James Version of the Bible. According to Webster's New Dictionary, racism means a program or practice of racial discrimination. We know from the previous scriptures that God does discriminate, but does he discriminate between races? What does the Bible teach? Remember, Jacob was selected by God, which is reaffirmed in Genesis 35:9-11. "And God appeared unto Jacob again, when he came out of Padan Aram, and blessed him. And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins." God selected Jacob, whose name he changed to Israel, and would make his covenant with him. According to Genesis 35:22, Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Genesis 49:28. From this point on in the Bible, the name Israel is applied to only the descendants of Jacob, and it is a racial term. Quote, "And it came to pass in process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage. And they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Exodus 2:23. Here God discriminated in favor of the Israelites and would ultimately deliver them from the hand of the Egyptians. In Leviticus 21:24, God speaks of this race of Israel, saying, "But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit the land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord Yahweh your God, which have separated you from other peoples." Again, God racially discriminated in favor of the Israelites and against all the other races that lived in the land of Palestine. In Deuteronomy 7:1-2, God tells Israel, "When the Lord Yahweh thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hast cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Gergesites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Persians, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord Yahweh thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them." Racial discrimination? Certainly. Notice that God calls Israel his chosen people. Deuteronomy 7:6, 14:2, and Psalms 135:4. His kingdom of priests, Exodus 9:6. His holy nation, Exodus 9:6, Deuteronomy 7:6. His peculiar people, Deuteronomy 14:2 and 26:18. Has God cast off his chosen race, Israel? Quote, "God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew," Romans 11:2. Peter even says of Israel in the New Testament, "You are a chosen generation, race, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people," 1 Peter 2:9. God even seals, quote, "all the tribes of the children of Israel," Revelation 7:4. Paul further states in Romans 11:26 that all Israel shall be saved. Now, you must understand that the race of people known as the Jews are not the Israel of the Bible. If you have been misled into believing that the Jews are God's chosen people, Israel, then you are ignorantly deluded and do not know what the scriptures teach. The Jew has never been the chosen people, nor Israel of God, in Jesus was not a Jew. Read just a few of the many things that Jesus said about Jews. John 8:31-45. "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." And then in Revelation 2:9 and 3:9, "I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. It cannot be emphasized enough that the race of people known as the Jews are not God's chosen people, Israel. And I will give $10,000 to anyone who can give chapter and verse in the Bible, KJV, where it says that, quote, the Jews are God's chosen people, or that the Jews are Israel. I have made this offer for the last 40 plus years in print and on radio to millions of people, and no one has come with the chapter and verse. The Bible makes no such statement, and it is time to pull this disguise from off of the Jews, who are in actuality the literal flesh and blood offspring of the serpent, the devil, Satan, which is what Jesus said in the previous verses. If the Jews are not Israel, then who is Israel? I have other messages giving an abundance of scriptures as to the identity of Israel, which is too much to be dealt with here. But suffice it to be said that the people known today as white Western man are the Israel of the Bible. It was into this white race, descended from Adam, through Seth, through Heber, through Sem, through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob Israel, that Jesus Christ was born. It is this race that God chose above all the peoples of the earth. And it is to this race that God gave the blessings of a high civilization and culture, inventiveness, technology, abundant food production, and prosperity. It is this same white race that became many nations and that has been a blessing to all other races as God promised to Abraham. Is this racial discrimination, racism? Definitely. Does this rub you the wrong way? If it does, then you are definitely on the wrong train headed in the wrong direction. Paul waves a warning flag at you in Romans 9:20, where he says, "But, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus?" Who is foolish enough to castigate the scriptures, to indict God, and to say he is a hate monger and does not know how to love? In all of this arrogance, modern-day deluded Christianism rewrites the Word of God and makes him into their new, better-educated version. There is no room for his discrimination and racism in their house, so send him to the barnyard stable. However, they miss the life-giving truth that wise men traveled great distances to find. Yes, there is still another issue that raises the cackles of these chicken littles: God's racial rule. God has very definite rules regarding the strangers, the people of another race. According to Leviticus 22:10, "There shall no stranger eat of the holy thing." Also, these strangers could not come near the priest and the tabernacle. If they did, they were to be put to death. "And a stranger shall not come nigh unto you, and a stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death." Numbers 18:4-7. The stranger could not be a ruler or hold any position over an Israelite. "Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." Deuteronomy 17:15. Therefore, these racially different people could not be politicians, school teachers, or heads of industry. They could never be placed over an Israelite in any way. Think about how America has become an Obama nation run by Antichrist Jews and their non-white horde. And finally, we are not to marry outside of our own race. Quote, neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. Deuteronomy 7:3. Do you recall the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and that God destroyed them? Do you know what their sin was that brought this divine destruction upon them? The answer is given in the New Testament, in Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, and going after strange flesh, are set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Their sin was the sin of fornication and going after strange flesh. What is fornication according to the Bibles? Hebrews 12:16 says that Esau was a fornicator. And according to Genesis 26:34 through 35, Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Esau married outside of his race and thereby became a fornicator. Jesus Christ calls Esau's descendants the children of fornication, which is revealed in John 8:41, when they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. Sodom and Gomorrah not only went after strange flesh by practicing integration and race mixing, but they also committed fornication, which is esoteric interracial sexual activity, the fruit of which is mongrelization. Jesus Christ tells us that just as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, even thus shall it be when the Son of Man is revealed. Luke 17:28 through 30. This is tragically true of our own day. Government and religion are misguiding our own nation into the evils of integration and race-mixing mongrelization. In the name of love and tolerance, these puppets of Satan proclaim their evil doctrine as good, right, and Christian. As Isaiah 5:20 says, they call evil good and good evil. God not only practices discrimination, segregation, and racism, but also commands his people to do the same. God has his divine Adamic white race in the earth, and it is this race that is commanded to do as he does. Yes, you have a duty, which your Father Yahweh God has clearly set forth in the Bible for his white children, and expects us to follow him in all his ways. In Matthew 10:24 through 25, Jesus states, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. It is his law that commands discrimination, segregation, and racism. And it must be noted that those who do and teach his commandments will be great in the kingdom of God. But whosoever shall therefore be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels, Mark 8:38. Do you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to perceive or am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Galatians 4:16. Here's the challenge. For even when you ought to be teachers by reason of the time, again have you need that one be teaching you what are the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk, not of strong food. For everyone that partaking of milk is unskilled in discourse of righteousness, for he is a babe. But to such as are mature pertaineth a strong food, to them who by reason of habit have their organs of perception well trained for discriminating both good and evil. Hebrews 5:12-14, Rotherham Translation. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord Yahweh God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord Yahweh. Amos 8:11. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Jeremiah 5:31. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. 2 Timothy 4:3. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Mark 8:38. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Matthew 7:21-23. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Mark 7. Understand the significance of discrimination, segregation, and racism as laid out in the scriptures. God is showing us his principles that are to be applied in our individual lives and adhered to in our society as a whole. Our nation is to be one nation under God, and not a polyglot of whatnot mongrels. When the Bible speaks about Israel, God's chosen people, it's not referring to a geographical territory with a certain form of government occupied by a mixed multitude, but it is referring to one racial group of people. From Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is the book pertaining to racial Israel, which today is known as the white Western people. It is the white race that God chose before the foundation of the world to be the vessel of his divine spirit. Racial purity is as important today as it was in the days of Noah. In Luke 17:26-27, Jesus Christ refers to this. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. And this racial purity was also the salvation deliverance of Lot. Jesus stressed this in the very next two verses, 28 through 29. Likewise also, as it was in the day of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Can you hear these what-not peoples priding themselves on their nation's ethnic diversity, their tolerance of all races, religions, sexual lifestyles, and cultural equality? Is not this the same music emanating from the perverted Pied Piper of today? The ratty, blinded masses are swept along in a melodious, mesmerizing trance leading to their destruction. The Antichrist Jews have paid this piper to work a number on you, because it is your God-chosen race that stands between them and total world conquest. Satan and his children understand who you are, and that through you, God will establish his kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. Through mongrelizing destruction, that channel of blessing will no longer exist in the earth, and the devil wins. By making the topic of discrimination, segregation, and racism taboo, the Christ haters have come one step closer to achieving their goal. By relegating the subject of race to the deepest, darkest prison hole, the spiritless corpse of Christianism will never hear its soul-stirring cry. The one thing our enemies have overlooked is that our God, the Father of our race, has his plan, which will be triumphant. This will be carried out through the quickening of his spirit in the hearts and souls of his racial children. Those who love God, his word, his son, and his people must listen to the spirit that is boiling up within them and no longer support the castration of Christianity. Following Jesus' example, take the whip, overturn the tables, and drive the corrupted clergy out of the churches. These wolves in sheep's clothing have consumed the flock far too long, and their unabated rampage has so confused and demoralized the fold that they have become powerless. Today, there are more church members in America than at any other time in history, and yet they are so powerless that they cannot stop the eviction of God, the Bible, Jesus Christ, and prayer from the schools or any other public institutions. Soon, all reference to Christ will be removed from Christmas, and it will just be called the Happy Holiday. We have become lost sheep, blindly running in every direction away from the true, unadulterated Word of God. The Bible is the all-time bestseller, and most homes have at least one copy, and yet it is never read, much less studied. People may carry them to their church, but do not carry them into life. How many can say, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee," or "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path," Psalms 119:11 and 105. Is the cry from Christendom, "Show me thy ways, O Lord Yahweh, teach me thy paths," Psalms 25:4. How many of these lost sheep ever know the name of their God, much less who they are and what their purpose is? Just as Paul said in Romans 11:25, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, and Hosea gets to the very root of the problem. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. When things get bad enough, then these bleeding sheep will realize that the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Romans 13:12. People put on armor for only one purpose, that is to go into battle. Wake up, smell the coffee. There is a war going on in which the white race has been chosen by the Antichrist Jews to be the sacrificial lamb on their bloody altar of world conquest. But such will not be, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews 4:12. This sword of truth will set our people free. The key to power is to know that we, the Adamic white chosen race, Israel, are eternal, and that we are the bleeding offspring of Yahweh God in the earth. He is our racial father. We are his racial children. As we were with him in the heavens, he is with us in the earth. It was in the heavens when our names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, Revelation 17:8. We, as the racial children of God, pre-existed this world, and this is all according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. All this is God's hidden wisdom and is a mystery to the world, as Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world was unto our glory. 1 Corinthians 2:7. Through this earthly journey, our Father keeps us in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Titus 1:2. We did not come into existence by being born in earth in a flesh body any more than did Jesus. Read what he prays in John 17. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Thine they were, they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. We are not of the world, but we were with our Father Yahweh before the world was. As the racial bleeding offspring of our Father, we came into earth to bring forth His kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10. God has given us the way of light and life in His written word, the Bible, and His living word, Jesus Christ. In John 17:3, Jesus prays, saying, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." The way, the truth, and the life is not in churchism, but is found only in Him. Know this, you are the divine eternal race that came into this world with a God-given purpose, which is to establish His kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. It is your destiny to shine forth in the kingdom of your Father. Be assured that it is God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. We, like Jesus, must be about our Father's business. Not my will, but Thy will be done. This is our purpose and our victory. Claim it and grasp the full power of what Jesus said in Luke 12:32. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.